Good morning. Wherein lies the key to true happiness? We live in a time where boredom, depression, and other forms of unhappiness are rampant. Is there some basic principle which determines success in finding happiness? The Book of Psalms, with its very first psalm, shares with us a key principle that can ensure true happiness. Notice the very first word of the very first psalm, blessed. The Hebrew word denotes the idea of happiness. The actual force of the Hebrew could be translated, "Oh, how very happy is the man." Therefore, this psalm describes the truly happy man. In this lesson, we shall take a close look at the first psalm. Seek to glean the principles necessary for one to truly be happy. The psalm itself can be divided into three sections. The first section describes the blessedness of the righteous man. We are told of his character in verses 1 and 2. Described first from a negative point of view in verse 1. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of scornful. There is value in negative commands or statements, for so much that destroys happiness is the fruit of sinful activity. We ought to appreciate the value of negative commands. They keep us from going astray. They protect from harm and misery. Like restraining walls along a cliff, they keep us from getting hurt. Therefore, it is said that truly happy man walks not in the counsel of the ungodly. He does not take their counsel as to how to live. He does not follow the advice of those who are sinful, nor does he stand in the path of sinners. That is, he does not linger where sinners are known to go, for the temptation to go with them would be great. Nor does he sit in the seat of the scornful. He does not join himself with those who ridicule and mock those trying to do right, which sinners often do to fortify their conduct and defend their actions. Notice the example of Hebrew poetry in this verse. Hebrew poetry stressed thought rhythm rather than word rhyme, where the thoughts are somehow related rather than just the words. Such thought rhyme was often expressed in various forms of parallelism. Here we find an example of progressive parallelism, walk, stand, sit. This verse may be taken to describe the journey one takes into sin. First, one going along with a crowd. Then taking a stand with the crowd. Finally, reaching a point where sinning is not enough, mocking is added. His character from a positive perspective. Psalm 1 and verse 2. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. His delight is in the law of the Lord. The source of joy and happiness is the Word of God. It is truly his delight. Psalm 119, verse 16, I will delight myself in thy statutes, I will not forget thy word. Verse 24, thy testimonies also are my delight and my counselors. Verse 35, make me to go in the path of thy commandments, for therein do I delight. Verse 47, and I will delight myself in thy commandments which I have loved. Verse 69 and 70, the proud have forged a lie against me, but I will keep thy precepts with my whole heart. Their heart is as fat as grease, but I delight in thy law. Verse 77, let thy tender mercies come unto me, that I may live, for thy law is my delight. Verse 92, unless thy law had been my delights, I should not have perished in my afflictions. Verse 174, I have longed for thy salvation, O Lord, and thy law is my delight. And now listen to Jeremiah 15:16-17. Thy words were found, and I did eat them, and thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of my heart. For I am called by thy name, O Lord God of hosts. I sat not in the assembly of the mockers, nor rejoiced. I sat alone because of thy hand. For thou hast filled me with indignation. He preferred it over the counsel of the ungodly. Therefore, in his law he meditates day and night. The word meditate means to moan, hum, utter, speak, or muse. The picture is one of a man reading and rereading half aloud to himself. Another word might be ponder. This he does with God's word day and night, not implying a monk-like existence, but a concerted interest which goes beyond a casual acquaintance. What it means is that this is something he does habitually. He takes time to do it, setting apart portions of each day. He does both day and night. We are told of his prosperity, verse 3, "And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper." He shall be like a tree. The figure of speech is often used in Scripture to describe the righteous. In Psalm 92, verses 12 through 15, and Jeremiah 17, 5 through 8, it had special significance to those living in arid climates like Palestine. Planted by rivers of water, a picture describing a person whose life is rooted in God's Word, from which one receives constant nourishment, that brings forth fruit in its season, depicting a life which yields something worthwhile, providing blessings to himself and others, whose leaf also shall not wither. A tree with roots near a river is not likely to be affected in times of drought. So adverse conditions do not affect the fruitfulness of one whose strength comes from God's Word. Whatever he does shall prosper. The figure of the tree is now left behind. This is a general rule. Exceptions may occur for reasons which only God knows, but a life of piety will generally be blessed by prosperity. For piety will heed God's directions for success in life, and piety will heed God's warnings concerning things that waste life. Such is the character and prosperity of the righteous man. He is truly happy and a blessing to others because he abides in the Word of God. He also becomes a monument to God's faithfulness and the value of living by His Word. What of those who do not delight in the Word of God, who do not receive the nourishment found in it? In the next two verses we're shown the condition of the unrighteous. They are nothing like the righteous. Verse 4 says, "The ungodly are not so, but are like chaff, which the wind driveth away." The phrase, "the ungodly are not so," is more emphatic in the Hebrew. Literally, "not so are the ungodly," emphasizing that the wicked are not like the righteous. The contrast is illustrated by the psalmist. He does not even describe them as withering trees, but rather as chaff which the wind drives away, alluding to chaff blown away from the wheat as it is tossed into the air. The illustration describes a bleak existence. Their life is one of futility, ending in eternal separation from God. Their life has no substantial value, either to be blown away and not found, or to be burned. Matthew 3, verse 12. Their sorry condition portends no good end. Verse 5, "Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous." The ungodly shall not stand in the judgment. I understand this may be a Hebraism, a Hebrew idiom, meaning that the wicked shall not be able to maintain himself, obliged to sit or fall down in shame when convicted of their guilt. The final judgment appears to be under consideration. "Nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous." In all places where the righteous are assembled, they will have no place. Where they assemble to worship God, where they meet His friends, where they together participate in His favor. But especially in the last day, when the righteous shall be gathered together to receive their reward, when they shall be assembled together in heaven, the sinner has no place. The psalm concerning the truly happy man ends with a final contrast between the two ways. The way of the righteous, for the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous. The Lord knows the way of the righteous. The word "knows" suggests interest in, a care for, the person known. One could say God Himself goes with such a person throughout his or her life. Then we see the way of the ungodly in verse 6. "But the way of the ungodly shall perish." The way of the ungodly person shall perish, shall tend toward ruin. His path becomes less defined until it loses itself, like a trail that leads into a swamp. Is not the end described for the ungodly a true description of those who go through life bored, depressed, or otherwise unhappy? Their lives are listless, with no sense of purpose or direction, gradually unraveling. Why is this so? Because they heed the counsel of the ungodly, do not meditate upon the word of the Lord. If we desire to be the truly happy man, standing strong like well-nourished trees, bearing fruit at all times, with the Lord always at our side, then the key is to delight and meditate in the word of the Lord, and not heed the counsel of sinners. In whose counsel do you delight? That found in God's word, or that provided by the ungodly in this world? If you seek true happiness, let the Lord be your counselor, and his word be your guide. If we can help you, please let us know. And until next week, may God bless and keep you.